Hi, and welcome to the Data Science Salon podcast. If you're returning, welcome back, and thank you for being here again. And if you're listening for the first time, we're glad to have you here. Thank you for choosing the Data Science Salon podcast. We know there are many choices out there. I'm Anna Anison, your host and the founder of Formulated By, the home of the Data Science Salon. Today, joining us is Swati Teghi, an AI and machine learning expert and responsible AI advocate. And Swati is a results-driven professional specializing in large language models, generative AI, and AI automation. And she has such a wealth of experience across a range of industries, including fintech, healthcare, and finance, where she's helped organizations harness the power of AI to make real-world impact, and currently driving enterprise AI strategy at JPMorgan Chase. Swati has worked on automating financial applications, integrating LLMs for real-time inferencing, which is really, really interesting, and with hands-on expertise in cloud AI solutions, MLOps, and scalable machine learning infrastructure, Swati is really at the cutting edge of AI innovation. Congratulations. And in this episode, we'll dive into her work in responsible AI, AI and finance, and how we can really build trustworthy and scalable and high-performing AI systems in the enterprise. Swati, it's such a pleasure to have you here with us today.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you so much for having me. Really glad to be part of the podcast. And thank you for the quick introduction.
Of course. No, it's such a pleasure to have you on the podcast. We've been trying to schedule this for a while, so really excited. And to start, maybe you could tell us about your journey into machine learning and AI and what really inspired you to really focus on responsible AI and LLMs, especially now.
Yeah. So actually, my journey really began back in my undergrad when I did my bachelor's in computer science and engineering. That drew me closer to the software. And then I did my master's from IIT Delhi in business analytics and technology management. And later I did PhD at University of Delaware, US, where I specialized in AI, large language model, statistics as a JPMorgan scholar. So what drew me into this field was seeing both the power of AI, the Gen AI models that they are bringing, as well as the risk that it holds. So for example, during my PhD, I deep dive into the research showing how there is a strong bias in lending models if you, if you have those variables like age, zip code, and other parameters that can really bring in bias in the lending decisions. And then I worked on hiring algorithms. These days, it's automated recruitment, right? So hiring algorithm could unintentionally reinforce bias. And that pushed me towards focusing on responsible AI and large language model, not just building smarter systems, but fairer and more accountable ones. Yeah.
No, and that's really great. And, you know, that's our whole kind of mission here at Data Science Salon. So thank you for actually doing that work. And I know that you worked at some major organizations like JPMorgan Chase, Cigna Healthcare, and Franklin Templeton. Yeah. Can you share some examples of how you've helped implement AI-driven solutions and also get rid of finance or get rid of bias in those industries, particularly, you know, around the modeling and risk, credit risk?
Absolutely. So currently, like at JPMorgan Chase, I work on building predictive models for credit risk and for propensity models, like lending decision and building propensity model, like if this person will take particular product or not. So what we do during the modeling time, we eliminate all the sensitive attributes that can cause bias. We also have a model governance team, model governance risk team that continuously work with decision science team and check if there is any risk attribute that's the part of the model, and keep pushing us to make the model more fairer and check it on bias and sensitive attributes. I also work on using JPMC proprietary LLM suite, which is built internally by JPMC team. So I have worked on using that system and developing internal modules for home lending team, developing various guardrails, your PII reduction, so that the PII data don't get exposed to the LLM system. So that that we need to ensure. Then these days, I'm also working on building recommender application for enhancing customer engagement. So the main objective when we build and I build these models, I always focus and always talk to the analyst and my peers, even my my colleagues, that we always focus of eliminating the sensitive attributes that can bring bias and make the system less fair. We should only focus on the features that brings the actual value instead of bringing the biasness in the modeling systems. Then at Cigna, I applied the LLM like BERT and GPT-3 for summarizing customer feedback and build various models for summarizing unstructured text and also document extraction. So they have a lot of patient data, extracting the structured like markdown information from that documents that I did as part when I was in Cigna to improve the overall customer experience and classify their feedback based on the like if it belongs to the mobile experience, like the customer is having bad experience related to their website, or they are having the bad experience in prior authorization. It's take lot of time. So all of that. Now, when it comes to Franklin Templeton, there I majorly work on thematic based investment. So I build dynamic topic model on SEC filings, 10K filings, which gave portfolio managers thematic insights. So I had around decade of data on which I built the dynamic topic modeling. So that project alone contributed to around 10 to 30 million investment impact. And over across all three, like the common thread was building innovation with compliance and trust, and always making sure of using proper guardrails. Now, LLM has come into the picture, so guardrail word has become prominent because of the risk. But before LLM also, as a modeling expert and into decision science, we all always made sure that not to use PII information when we are modeling these decision science models.
Right. No, that's super important. No, that's, and thank you so much for sharing all those use cases. No, those are really all so impactful, and congratulations to making such a big impact in those organizations.
Yeah.
And responsible AI is, you know, I know that you're really passionate about that, and it is a very important area now that, you know, as you said, LLMs are here. What do you think are the biggest challenges now that organizations face when trying to really ensure that their systems are both ethical and also scalable at the same time?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, one of the biggest challenges in itself is to make sure that system is not biased and is ethical in nature, because models pick up on subtle inequities in training data and amplify them. So if there is even little biasness in the training data, the model amplify it at the inference time. So another important thing is to maintain the transparency. Leaders and regulators don't just want a prediction, because LLM in itself is black box in nature. So they want to know why a model made that particular prediction, what's the trajectory behind it, the traces, how LLM is thinking and giving the answer. Then comes the scalability challenge when we build these applications, then how to scale those applications for millions of users. So major time goes how to improve the latency part thing, so the inference became less, comes in less seconds, so it should be within 1 second. So building prototype is easy, but rolling it out across dozen of enterprise workflows require governance, monitoring, and ensuring that all the system flawlessly talk to each other, and making it till production, it's really take a lot of things to go pass on. So from governance point of view, we need to ensure all the checklists. From a scalability point of view, we need to talk to multiple teams to ensure that the system in production is having good latency. So for me, responsible AI isn't a checklist. It's complete life cycle. So at JP Morgan, for example, we integrated fairness audits, MRGR is there, proper guardrails like PII masking, and then taking like black box, how the models are black box in nature. So we try to ensure at level like there is a proper logging, and we are capturing how the model is taking the decision into the production pipeline to make it to make responsibility part of the system and not an afterthought. So we are trying to make sure to understand how the LLM pipelines work through traces, as well as we have done proper logging. We are trying to include as many as test cases as possible. We are generating a lot of synthetic data also, different edge cases that it covers, the bias queries we have. So we are trying to do a lot of testing using synthetic chat data and synthetic data that covers the edge cases, and try to incorporate the system policies and prompt accordingly, so that system does not go out of the designed purview that it is meant to. And this is how we are trying to make sure that it behaves in a way. So, but these are challenges. So even after ensuring everything, there is always something that comes up. And that's the major challenge, to keep the LLM system, Gen AI system, in a way that they are designed to for a particular problem. Yeah.
Right. No, that's a really great answer. Thank you so much. And I know, let's go back a little bit about bias, because you've done a lot of research on this at the University of Delaware. And I know that there's a lot of conversation talked about bias, kind of specifically focused in natural like NLP. But now that we have Gen AI and, you know, LLMs and all of those things, does that really change? Because I, you know, that's kind of taken over the whole process of NLP. So I just wanted to see kind of what your thoughts were on that.
Okay. So in my research, I worked a lot on bias in NLP, and I worked on the backbone. Like, these LLM systems are based on word embedding. So during my research, I figured out that these word embeddings are trained on a lot of training data, and there was like historical training data. And we know like history does not represent all the genders equally. So when these embeddings were trained on a lot of historical data, so the outcome is that they created some of the associations, like she is more closer to cook as compared to he. And she is more closer to like homemaker as compared to he. And he is more closer to scientist, doctor, and she is more closer to nurse. So these associations, these word embeddings picked. So during my research, I showed that there is a strong biasness that these word embeddings carry. And if we use these word embeddings in further downstream applications, for example, if we use these word embeddings as part of NLP, like for recruitment, we are building any NLP-based recruitment portal, or we are building any other chatbot where we are using these biased embedding, it will further amplify the biasness that these embeddings carry. So I have published a couple of papers on debiasing methods, for example, using variational autoencoder and gender-weighted sampling. How can we make the downstream application, for example, resume screening fairer. And my takeaway is that bias mitigation is something you don't do, you know, once. You need to continuously monitor these models and keep evolving your testing data set based on how it's behaving before rolling out to production. And even in production, if you find that there are some edge cases, you need to continuously monitor and retrain your model whenever you find the biasness. Penalize the model for biasness. And that's really important.
If you're enjoying listening to my conversation with Swati, you'll have a chance to enjoy more content like this at our upcoming event in San Francisco, Data Science Salon San Francisco on November 6th, taking place at the AWS Builders Loft in the middle of San Francisco. This is a free community event. Thank you to our amazing sponsors. And you can visit luma.com/DSSSF. And we can't wait to see you there. That's a great answer. Thank you, Swati. And as someone who has worked extensively in financial services, how do you see LLMs really revolutionizing industries like fintech, especially when it comes to automating financial decision making and risk assessment?
Yeah, so I think LLMs are going to, they are completely transforming financial services. Imagine an advisor in a client meeting being able to instantly pull up a compliance checked answer about a fund's performance. So that's we say like fin agent or your financial advisor you are carrying in your pocket. So you just need to open the chatbot that's been trained on finance, internal finance data, and put a query, and you quickly get the answer. So instead of digging through fragmented system and, you know, read so many papers to come up with the answer, now you just need to type your query to that fin agent. Or risks team using LLM to synthesize market news, credit data, and internal report in real time to flag emerging risk. That's where we are heading. And in finance, that's the fact that accuracy is not enough. Every answer has to come up with provenance, and so it can be trusted, verified, and defended. So yes, LLMs and GenAI application has a lot of scope in fintech. We are using for document extracting, extracting a lot of information from the PDFs and putting it into the RAG systems and building chatbots on the top of that. However, we also need to keep improving our system, like giving proper citation from where the LLM is giving the answer. It's like improving the retrieval system majorly. And also, we are also exploring MCP server to how we can use MCP server to leverage, to build some semantic layer if we are building like SQL agent to directly talk to SQL databases. So we are figuring out how can we incorporate MCP server there. But there's a lot of scope of LLM application in finance sector.
No, thank you so much. No, that's a great answer. And I know that you've worked on both the AI research and in the industry enterprise, helping implement real-world AI solutions. What are some key differences between the two, and how can we bridge the gap between really theoretical AI research and practical applications better?
Yeah, so I have worked like on both sides, and the differences are real. So in academia, like during my PhD, the focus was on pushing the boundaries, like experimenting with the explainable AI for credit scoring and fairness in NLP. In industry, it's about what can actually be deployed, compliance, scalability, cost. So these are the important factors in the industry. The highest accuracy model does not matter if it is not explainable to the regulators, if we can't explain how the decisioning is happening. And Bridging that gap means adapting research into robust auditable systems. And that's something I have tried to do consistently, whether in credit risk model, thematic-based investment, or the LLM model. So I'm trying to integrate my research into the real-time application that I'm building right now and make them as explainable as possible to the regulators and work on improving the trajectory path for the regulators. Yeah.
No, that's really cool. And seems like a lot of responsibility for for you guys. Yeah. But it seems like this is all making it much more accessible and transparent. So that's really cool. And looking ahead, what are some of the most kind of exciting developments in AI? Obviously, now we're always talking just about Gen AI. What do you think is coming kind of next year? Now we're looking more like 2000, you know, not 2026 and beyond.
Yeah. So what excites me right now is the move towards the agentic AI. And what excites me in the future is how MCP server rolling out, and will there not be any need of RAG building a system, feeding, making such a large database. So that's really exciting to see how MCP server can replace RAG system at all and be capable enough to integrate with internal Confluence, other documents, and you don't need to build everything from scratch. So that's what excites me. And also how things are exciting, like autonomous agents able to handle complex workflows and how we can put them in finance sector. Like in finance, that could mean like automated underwriting or automated compliance review. I'm also excited about advances in evaluation. So evaluation is a really big thing. Either a traditional model, when we talk about the evaluation, we have predefined, you know, evaluation toolkits are there. But when we talk about Gen AI and LLM application, is still the evaluation in itself is evolving. Somewhere you read that you use LLM as a judge, and another day, like after a week, you get to know you cannot rely on LLM as a judge for the evaluation. So evaluation in itself is an evolving hot topic, and it will remain hot topic even in the next year. So I am looking forward to see various frameworks that test models not on just accuracy, but for fairness, consistency, and reliability. And I think the future isn't just about the bigger models. The future will be about small language models, SLMs, and building more responsible, domain-specific, and collaborative, you know, Gen AI ecosystem. So future holds in that direction.
Well, that's really great to hear. And, I think we actually just had a session about, like, you know, responsible AI and actually using the smaller models. So I think that's great to hear that we're hearing more about that. And that's where you guys, your mind is as well. And for professionals looking to break into the field of machine learning and AI, especially in responsible AI and fintech, what advice would you give them to kind of stay ahead of the curve? Because now it seems like there's a lot of the skills that, you know, people used to have are, you know, just people are looking for different skills, things are changing. What kind of advice would you have for people interested in still being in this industry?
Yeah, that sounds cliche, but my advice is to start with fundamentals. So those professionals and students, those who are starting now, I know it seems very fancy to directly jump to the world of LLM and agentic AI. However, you need to have your basics and fundamentals strong if you want to grow far in the ladder in terms of, you know, the savvy that we say technical expert. So you need to get hold of Python, core machine learning, statistics, and then you also need to have hold of agentic frameworks, LLM models. Then you need to have hands-on understanding of how cloud tools work, like AWS, Azure, how the deployment frameworks work, having a solid understanding of the architecture, because scalability is one of the biggest challenge these days. So having full understanding of MLOps, that is really essential. And learn responsible AI practices early, like bias mitigation, fairness, explainability. These are important when you roll out any model to the production. And in terms of finance and healthcare domain, that really matters a lot. Then finally, give back to the community. For me, build in my thing, like talk, like write some articles, write on LinkedIn, build some open source project and publish so that you get the visibility and the credibility as well.
Those are amazing. Those are amazing tips and great advice. And I think you've been a really great example of doing all of those things, Swati. And it's been such a pleasure hearing about your incredible work and the intersection of AI and machine learning, responsible AI and industry innovation, and your insights into LLMs, cloud AI, Gen AI, and the future of AI and finance are really valuable, and really appreciate you sharing your knowledge with us today. And for our listeners, make sure to stay tuned for more cutting edge developments in AI, machine learning, and responsible AI. And Swati's work is a perfect example of how we leverage AI for good while addressing the challenges that come with it. And yes, Swati, if you wanted to just say a few things to our audience before we let them go.
Thank you for listening to me and looking forward to interact. Thank you, Anna, for having me once again.
Of course, no, and I look forward to having you hopefully as a speaker soon at one of our events. I think, you would definitely be a great addition to talk more, definitely dive deeper maybe into SLMs, right? They call them, and responsible AI and all of that. So I'm looking forward to continuing the conversation, and thank you so much for being part of our community.
Thank you, Anna. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. And for our listeners, thanks again for tuning in, and have a wonderful rest of the week, and we'll see you next time. If you're enjoying listening to my conversation with Swati, you'll have a chance to enjoy more content like this at our upcoming event in San Francisco, Data Science Salon San Francisco on November 6th, taking place at the AWS Builders Loft in the middle of San Francisco. This is a free community event. Thank you to our amazing sponsors. And you can visit luma.com/DSSSF. And we can't wait to see you there.